Hi and welcome to another support corner. This time we have as a presenter myself and Fulvio Salonitro. So Fulvio, the stage is yours.
Thanks a lot, Bruno. So you can start the recording if you want. So as Bruno said, hi everyone and welcome to this session about my migration strategies. I'm Fulvio Salonitro, I'm a technical advisor, and as Bruno said, today with me we have Bruno Fernandez, that is a friend and also a colleague and act as a escalation engineer. As I said, today we will talk about mail migration strategies. In particular, we will focus on these topics. Just a second that I'm sharing with you the slide deck with the agenda. Just one second. So basically today we will discuss about the following topics. An introduction about what we need to consider when we are planning to migrate users to Office 365 and in particular to Exchange Online. We will discuss about IMAP migration. We will see together what we need to consider, how do we need to prepare the environment, and we will see also a demo about an IMAP migration. The same for cutover migration. So cutover migration means that we are going to migrate all the users from an Exchange server to Exchange Online. Again, here we will discuss what is needed, how to prepare the infrastructure, and we will see how to be sure that the Exchange local server is working and is ready to be connected to Exchange Online, and we will see a demo too. And in the last part of the session, we will see with Bruno how the staged Exchange migration works. What you need to know is that during this session we will also discuss generally about the PST import and also about hybrid environment. We will not discuss in this session directly these two methods to import emails and data in Exchange Online for a simple reason, because we are planning to deliver other two sessions in the next weeks, one about hybrid environments that will be delivered the next Thursday, the next week by me and Bruno, and another one by about PST import. The rules for the events are quite easy. If you have any kind of question, please use the IM. We will try to answer to your question. If not using the IM, I will answer by voice. And I hope you will enjoy this session. So let's start with the first topic of the agenda, so the introduction about mail migration. So when we or our customers are planning to migrate to Exchange Online and to Office 365, there are some considerations that we need to do before starting a migration. These considerations are pretty important because will help us in understanding the time that will be required to migrate our data to Exchange Online, the time and also the best approach that we can decide to use to migrate mailboxes to Exchange Online. For example, we need to consider the source server. Okay, we need to understand if the server is an Exchange, in which version of Exchange also, 2013, 2010, because based on the version of Exchange, we can decide a certain kind of migration path, for example. We can migrate to Exchange Online basically from any kind of server using the IMAP migration. So for example, if you or your customer are using a really old version of Exchange or are using a third-party server, they can, in 99% of the cases, use the IMAP migration. We will see in a few minutes what are the benefits and the limits of the IMAP migration. If you are migrating from Lotus, usually you need to follow a specific path, because a migration from Lotus will require a specific connector, and in most of the cases will be required or suggested to use a third party tool, like for example Quest Integrator from Dell, for example. The same if you are planning to move from Google. You can use for example the IMAP migration, but also third party tools. So the source server is really important to start planning your migration to exchange online. Then you need to evaluate also the size. The size means even the number of mailboxes that you want to migrate to Exchange Online, but also the amount of data that needs to be migrated. Because migrating 5 mailboxes compared to 500 mailboxes, well, as you can imagine, is different. It's the same for the amount of data. If you are planning to migrate 100 gigabyte of data, it will require a few days. If you are planning to migrate 5 terabyte of data, well, your customer or you needs to plan really carefully the amount of time and eventually also the downtime required to migrate all this data to Exchange Online. Then, when you are planning a migration to Exchange Online, you can also evaluate or think about a possible coexistence. What means coexistence? Coexistence means that you can keep your mail environment up and running while you are migrating your mailboxes to Exchange Online. So, for example, the MX record will still point to the local on-premise server and partially some mailboxes will exist and will be migrated to Exchange Online. When you are planning a coexistence, you can think about two kinds of coexistence. One that is called the simple coexistence that will be explained by Bruno in the end of this presentation, and the second one is called the rich coexistence or hybrid. The differences between these two kinds of coexistence are basically the number of functionalities that you can have. So, for example, in a simple coexistence, you will have only basically mail routing and a unified GAL, which rich coexistence or hybrid environment, you will have many more functionalities, like, for example, the free calendar sharing, sharing some kind of permissions, and so on. And this is important because based on the requirements, you are able to plan the right kind of coexistence. Then, when planning a migration to Exchange Online, you should also evaluate how to provision the users in your environment. So you will create all the users one by one. You will implement their sync. You will implement their sync now or after the migration. Or if you are you going to use an automatic provisioning like the one provided by the Katover migration, for example. So these are all the considerations that you should take in account. The last part is related to the identity management, because identity management can be implemented before the migration or after the migration. But we have also some constraints, because, for example, in some kind of migration is not possible to have their sync enabled. So it's really important to have a clear picture of your environment and to be really sure about your plans when you are going to start a migration to Exchange Online. Basically, as I said, we have three types of coexistence that we can plan and have with Exchange Online. So no coexistences at all. So all the mailboxes are in the cloud. There is no mail routing that involves a local server, and maybe there is also no integration with the local Active Directory. So everything is in the cloud, like a new infrastructure. We have the simple coexistence then, where practically Exchange Online is working with an on-premise infrastructure. Usually, as I said, during a simple coexistence, mail flow through the local Exchange server, and then the local Exchange server forward the emails to Exchange Online. Usually, this is the only feature you get with a simple coexistence. Then, as I said, the last one is the advanced coexistence or hybrid coexistence, when you can implement all the functionalities across the on-premise and online environment. This will require an hybrid server and a set of requirements that we will see and we will discuss later during the presentation. Then let's see what kind of migration options we have. We have the IMAP migration, the cutover migration, the staged exchange migration, and the hybrid environment with this kind of migration. So In an IMAP migration, what I need to remember and to know is that there are no coexistence. So basically, Exchange Online will connect to the local or hosted IMAP server. We said already that can be an Exchange or a third-party server. Exchange Online will connect to this server and will copy over the time all the mailboxes to Office 365. Then we have the cutover Exchange migration. This kind of migration can be used only with Exchange servers located on premises or hosted somewhere. So you can migrate to Exchange Online up to 2,000 mailboxes at the same time. The good part of a cutover Exchange migration is the fidelity, so that you are able to migrate the mailbox, but also the content of the mailbox, not only email, but also, for example, contacts and groups and calendar are migrated. We will see that in a while in a more detailed way. For a staged Exchange migration, we have basically all the advantages of the cutover Exchange migration, but we can run this kind of migration in batches. So we don't need to migrate all the emails at the same time, and can be used with older Exchange systems, like for example Exchange 2003 and 2007. The last one instead, the hybrid migration, can be used only if you have a recent version of Exchange Server, 2010, 2013, and 2016, and will enable you to have an infrastructure that can coexist with Exchange Online for a long time, and over this time you can decide to move your mailboxes or keep your mailboxes on premises on the local Exchange server. So having some mailboxes on premises, others in the cloud, and share basically almost all the functionalities between the two environments like they are a single organization. Okay. Here, this table is pretty useful, in my opinion, because based on the source server from Exchange 5.5 to Lotus, Domino, GroupWise, other system, you can see what kind of migration you can decide to use to migrate to Exchange Online. So, for example, if you have an Exchange 2000, that is a quite old version of Exchange, you can always perform an IMAP migration. Instead, if you are using an Exchange 2013, you can perform an IMAP migration, a cutover migration, or an hybrid migration. A couple of information. First, you need to remember that Exchange 2003 is no more officially supported by Microsoft. We are still supporting cutover migration from Exchange 2003 and staged migration with the other servers, but the Exchange 2003 itself is no more supported. It's the same for Exchange 2016. It's not on this table, is for sure supported, but will provide basically the same functionalities and the same kind of migration possibilities offered by Exchange 2013. So IMAP migration, cutover migration, and you can build also an hybrid environment. Keep this table on handy because it can be useful to, let's say, decide quickly what kind of migration you can use in your environment. Here there is another table that will help you to find the right kind of migration based on your local environment. So, for example, if you have in your environment less than 1,000 mailboxes, and you don't want to have any kind of integration with the on-premise environment, you and have Exchange 2013, 2003, 2007, you can go for a cutover migration, just as an example. Or if you have an Exchange 2000 server or an earlier version of Exchange, and you want to migrate to Exchange Online, you can decide to go for the IMAP migration. Here we have a few examples of the original server that you can use, the suggested migration type, the kind of accounts that you will use in your organization, and the suggested migration type. It can be quite useful to work with your customers and with your partners. Here there is a short summary of everything we have discussed so far. So IMAP migration, range wide of email platform. So every mail server will usually enable you to use and to perform an IMAP migration, because it's an old protocol. Every mail server should have it. What is important to remember is that IMAP migration will not enable and permit you to migrate something different than email. So calendar, contacts, task, and other objects are not migrated to Exchange Online. Because as I said, IMAP is an old mail protocol that will not be able to move any other kind of object. Cutover migration will migrate instead all the content of the mailbox, including calendar, contacts, and tasks. Staged migration is the same of the cutover migration, but you can keep the on-premise environment and the Exchange Online environment running at the same time while you are migrating the mailboxes to Office 365. And the last one, as I said, is the hybrid environment, where you can migrate over the time, over a large amount of time, even a year or two, your mailboxes to Exchange Online. Okay. There are also other types of migration that you can perform when you are planning to migrate to Exchange Online. These are usually used when you have just a few users that you want to migrate in your organization. So if you have 5, 10, 20, 25 maximum users and you don't want to perform an IMAP migration, a cutover, and so on, you can still consider this kind of migration. For example, I divided these two kind of migration in two types. User-driven, this means that it needs to be performed by one user, and admin-driven, instead, that needs to be performed by an administrator of the company or the tenant. So let's see together the user-driven user-driven migration that we can do. So first option, new mailbox. So basically, we are going to create on Exchange Online a new empty mailbox, and we agree with the customer or inside our organization that we are not going to migrate any kind of data. So basically, we are not migrating data here. We are just passing from an email system to another mail system. I saw this kind of implementation, especially in universities, because maybe scholars are not using so much the mail provided by the university, and the university was not really interested in migrating all the mails inside the old system mailboxes. So they are willing to provide from zero, from scratch, a new mail system, and they suggested, they advised the scholars to save their data locally, because after X, they will pass to a new mail system. So there is not a real data migration here, just a migration of the mail system. The second suggestion or possibility that we have is the new mailbox plus the Outlook PST. So the administrator of the tenant will create a new mailbox, a new empty mailbox in Exchange Online, and the end user using Outlook can export the PST from the previous mailbox and mail system, save the PST locally on his computer, and then reimport this PST in Outlook once Outlook has been already connected to Exchange Online. So initially the mailbox will be empty, but over the time, depending on the amount of data that needs to be transferred, Outlook will upload the data to Exchange Online. This will take a few minutes or a few hours or a few days, depending on the amount of data and depending also on the connectivity. In particular, I'm talking about the upload speed. A good suggestion here is that if you are planning to do something like that, don't migrate all the users' data at the same time. So plan it carefully, because if not, you will have your upload speed totally used in uploading the data to Exchange Online. So maybe perform this activity during the weekend, for example, or few users, then wait, they have finished to move the data, and then go on. Then another kind of migration that I've seen again in schools and university is the new Mailbox Plus connected account. So you are providing to your students a new mailbox that is empty, and since you are willing to move all of them at the same time, you are also suggesting to the users that are interested to connect their new Exchange Online mailbox using the connected account to the old mail system, so that over the time, Exchange Online, after almost a half hour, will start connecting to the old mail system and will start downloading all the emails that were in the mailbox. You need to remember that in this way, the connected account will only download the emails that exist in the inbox folder, will not consider mail that are stored in subfolders. Okay? And this operation needs to be done by the end user. Recently, I'm talking about the last 6 months, there is also another way to import email in Exchange Online, but also data in SharePoint. We have a new tool that is available on the main portal of Office 365 that is called the Import Tool. This tool can import data in SharePoint Online, but also PST in Exchange Online. As I said, this is a new tool. This is currently in beta. Will go out of the beta in the next weeks or months, and we will discuss it in details with few demos also in an upcoming webcast that we are planning to do in the next weeks. Okay, what we need to consider also about DirSync. DirSync is used to synchronize your Active Directory with Office 365 and help the coexistence between the two worlds, the local environment and the online environment. Basically, DirSync will enable the coexistence between the two exchange, will enable the routing between the on-premise environment and Office 365. Bruno will show you exactly how works this kind of routing, but in particular, we keep the GAL, global address list, so the list of all the email addresses in your company, in sync between the on-premise environment and the Exchange Online. That's why DirSync is so much important. As we said, when we want to migrate to Exchange Online, usually we start all the migration type from the Exchange Admin Center. We go in Recipient under the Migration tab, and from there, we will see a demo in a while, we will be able to select the kind of migration that we want to perform. You can see here the remote move, the staged migration, the cutover, IMAP, and so on. Here we have a few examples. And last but not least, after we implemented with this current wave of Office 365, we have new PowerShell commands that can be used to start and manage the migration to Exchange Online. So we can create a new migration batch, we can get the status of a migration batch, we can stop, we can test the availability of the server that we are going to migrate, and so on. So that most of the operation that you can perform on the UI in the portal can be also performed using the PowerShell and can also be scripted. So for example, you can use the new migration batch or start migration batch, and you can schedule to run these PowerShell commands during the night so that the operation, the migration, is performing during off-peak hours. Okay, let's start talking about the first kind of migration, IMAP migration. So migration from usually or old Exchange servers or third-party servers. So what we need to take in account is that works with a large number of source mail systems, so basically everything that runs a mail server. Work with on-premises and hosted system. What does it mean? It means that you can use the IMAP migration not only with a local or on-premise server, but also for example, for a cloud or for a hosted system, like a migration from Gmail, for example, a migration from Outlook or the other provider system. can be migrated in batches. So I can decide, for example, to migrate just 10 users now and 200 users later, just for example. And the good part is that we don't need to install anything on the IMAP server. So for example, if we are going to migrate from an hosted mail server or from Gmail, for example, we will not need to install anything on that side to be able to perform the migration. What we need to take care and take in account is the preparation of the IMAP server, and in particular, we need to check the connectivity between the IMAP server and the internet. In particular, we need to be sure that the IMAP protocol is enabled, because it's not always enabled by default on all the mail server, because as I said, it's an old protocol that is not always enabled on the mail server. It's always available instead. We need to check if the IMAP server has been published correctly over internet. So for example, if port 143 is open, that is the normal one, or the port 993 is open, that is the secured one, the one with SSL usually. Then you need to create on the Office 365 tenant your users and also the mailboxes for Exchange Online. So manually, you need to create these users in Office 365. You can create them manually, or also you can bulk provision these users. So using, for example, a CSV import process so that these users are created automatically using a CSV file or a list. Then you need to have your domains already configured in Office 365. So at this point, MX record is still pointing to the IMAP server, but we have already verified our domains in Office 365. We need then to gather all the credentials for the IMAP users that we want to migrate. So we need to know their password, or we can reset the password for all of them and set the same password for all of them to perform an easier migration. It's not suggested for security reason, but it's still an option. Or you can define one user, one sort of super user, that have access to all these mailboxes, so that we will use this user to access to these mailboxes and proceed with the migration. Then we need to create a CSV file with the list of all the users that we want to migrate. Usually, in this CSV file, you need to have the email address, the username, and the password. Email address of the destination mailbox where we want to save our emails or migrate our emails, and username and password of the original server from where we want to migrate mail. And we need to remember that this file should be maximum 10 megabytes in size, just to give you an idea. Then, what is migrated and what is not migrated in an IMAP migration? So, we are migrating mail messages, so inbox and all the folders that are created by the users. So, if the user is archiving in some subfolders his emails, also these subfolders would be migrated. There is a maximum of 500,000 items. Usually, this is not a problem. I've seen it as a problem maybe just once in all my life. So, usually, it's not a problem. You can decide, for example, to exclude some specific folders for the migration. Just an example. Tomorrow, we are going to migrate your mail system to Exchange Online. Okay, please reach all the users and tell them that to create a specific folder in their mailbox called Not Migrate and put there all the items that are not important. So that for all the mailboxes, the folder Not Migrate will not be considered and will not be migrated in Exchange Online. Can be an option. What is not migrated with IMAP? Contacts, calendar, task, etc., and rules, for example. Because, as I said, IMAP is an old mail protocol. It's a, permit me this sentence, stupid protocol. So it's only able to handle mails. So contacts, calendar, and task are not migrated. As I said, you can decide to exclude the folders from the migration. Folders with a forward slash will be just ignored in the name. And you need to remember that Office 365, and in particular Exchange Online, still have limits related to the size of the message. So if you are trying to migrate a 200 megabyte message in Exchange Online, this message will be ignored because there are limits in Exchange Online. And these limits still applies also during the migration, not only in sending and receiving files. How the procedure works. Here you have an example. So you need to create and provision users in Office 365. You need then to assign the licenses so that the mailboxes are created in Office 365. You need to prepare a CSV file with the credential. You need to enter in the wizard all the server settings and upload the CSV information about the server you are migrating from. Then you, the system Exchange Online will do an initial sync, and then every day we'll do a delta sync with all the changes that happened from the previous synchronization. So just a small amount of data will be synchronized. When you are ready and you have completed the migration for all your mailboxes, you just need to change the MX record from the IMAP server to Exchange Online and mark the migration as complete. At this point, Exchange Online will perform one last migration to be sure that the two environments are 100% containing the same kind of information. And already the new emails are already flowing to Exchange Online because we changed the MX record. Let's see a short demo about this IMAP migration. I'm going to share with you my desktop. In a second. Bruno, could you please let me know when you are able to see my screen?
Sure.
Should be there in a few seconds. Tell me when you have it.
Yes, I have it.
Okay. So first of all, we are going to see together the CSV file. So I'm opening this file with Notepad. And as you can see, we have a simple text file with three fields, email address, username, and password. The first one, as I said, is the destination. So my email will be copied to the account in Office 365 that is monica@my365lab.info. And needs to connect to the account that is called monica@my365lab.info with the password Office 365. So basically, saving information here and reading information from this account here. Okay, I have one CSV file with just one mailbox that needs to be migrated. I can have many more rows at the same time, so I can migrate up to 2,000 email at the same time. Now that I'm here, I'm inside the Exchange Admin Center, as you can see here. Now, if I want to start a migration for the user Monica that resides on an IMAP system, what I just need to do is to go in Recipient and then in Migration and click on the plus that you have here. If you click here, you have two options, Migrate to Exchange Online and Migrate from Exchange Online. In our situation, we are going to migrate to Exchange Online. So we will receive and we will have a pop-up window like this one. As you can see, we will be able to select the kind of migration that we want to perform. In our test today, we are going to perform an IMAP migration from Exchange or other email system. Easy, not so complex. Then I need to click on Next. The first question and one of the few questions that the system will ask us is to upload the CSV file with the mapping of the users, so the original, the destination mailbox and the information to access to the original mailbox system. So basically I'm going to click on Browse and select the CSV file that I just created and showed you a few seconds ago. As you can see, the CSV has been uploaded, and there is one mailbox that will be migrated to Exchange Online, like in this case. Then I need to click on next. I need then to specify the address where the IMAP server is published. In this case, it's just a test. So I'm typing here an IMAP server that is Exchange online in Office 365. So it will be outlook.office365.com. So I'm doing an IMAP migration from a tenant in Office 365. I can select the kind of authentication, the kind of encryption, the port, and then click on next. Okay, we are almost ready to start the migration because we defined what to migrate, the name of the server, the data about the server, and we can also define here if we want to exclude a particular folder in each mailbox from the migration. In this case, I will not type any kind of folder here. I need to give a name of the, for this batch, so I will call it IMAP and click next. The last operation that I can perform for the IMAP migration is decide if I want to start now the batch or start the migration later. And who will be the administrator that will receive the report about the migration. Actually, since the migration will take a while, we will decide to start the migration later. So I will click on new, and in a matter of few seconds, a new migration process or batch is ready to be started in our system. We will also receive an alert here in a few seconds, so about the migration batch that is ready to be started. As you can see, there is a new migration batch, is created, there is only one mailbox, is doing basically nothing because zero threaded, zero finalized, zero synced, because the process is in a stop mode. If I want to start the migration, I just need to click here play and start the migration batch. During the migration process, I can see in real time what is happening. So statistic about the migration, the number of synced mailboxes, failed mailboxes, and so on. And if I want to know more about the situation, I can click on view details and see how the migration has been configured. And also eventually decide how many concurrent migration we will perform from the IMAP server. This is important because in one of my previous projects, I was working with a bigger hospital here in Milan, and they were not able to perform the IMAP migration to Exchange Online for a simple reason, because the server was already overloaded by the normal users that were using the server, plus the migration to Office 365. So the migration after a while was failing, so because the server was overused by users plus the migration. So what you can do is to lower down the number of concurrent migration or connections that are in place during the migration. Okay. We could start the migration here, but since it will take a while to run and be completed, we will just cancel the migration process here, and we will continue with our presentation. Just one second. Bruno, could you please let me know when you are able to see my presentation again?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still loading.
Should be there in a few seconds. Let me know.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go on with our presentation, and we are moving to a new method to move your email to Exchange Online, this time from a local Exchange server with a cutover migration. The cutover migration, as we said, is from an Exchange server that can be an old Exchange server or a newer version of the Exchange server to Exchange Online. So what you need to know is that it's a really quick and simple migration solution. Usually this is the kind of migration I suggest when someone wants to migrate to Exchange Online, because it's easy. Usually it does all the job itself and will not require any really specific preparation of the environment. The good part is that all the data is migrated, so not only the mailbox data, so not only the mail itself, but also contacts, calendar, and for example, tasks are migrated to Exchange Online. It's usually a good idea for a small and medium organization, so basically almost everyone. And also the Katura migration is provisioning, or better, creating all the users on behalf of you. So during the migration, also the users are created by the migration system. And also works with systems that are quite old, like for example, Exchange 2003. That in this case, the migration for Exchange 2003, as I said in the beginning, is still supported by us. What is really important to know is that with the Katura migration, you can migrate up to 2,000 mailboxes from the Exchange on-premise server. And you must have an SSL valid certificate. Usually, this is one of the biggest problems that we face when we are performing a migration from an Exchange system. Hybrid, cutover, staged. Usually, in most cases, the on-premise Exchange server doesn't have a valid SSL certificate. If I'm going to ask you, do you have a valid SSL certificate? You will always answer me, yes, I have one. But practically, in 80% of the cases, this is not true. Because it's expired, because it's self-generated, and so on. So please remember that you need to have a valid SSL certificate and needs to be obtained from a public certification authority. And usually you need to pay for that, usually, because in some circumstances you can have it also for free. Then you need to have an account or an user that have full access or receive as permission to access to all the mailboxes in the Exchange on-premise server that will be migrated. And it's really important that DirSync for the cutover migration, DirSync or all the other methods that we have to synchronize Active Directory, like ADSync and so on, are not enabled in this tenant. So DirSync should not be there, because as we said, cutover migration will create automatically these users. Domains should be configured in Office 365, and what is really super important is that the Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer is all green. When we work together troubleshooting customer issues, we all start with the Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer to be sure that the environment is totally okay to be migrated. As we said, the migration tool for the cutover creates users, mailboxes, and distribution lists and contacts. So reads from the local Active Directory and writes in Exchange Online. Usually the password is not copied from the source Active Directory, because we are generating new users in Office 365. So the end user will have a temporary password that need to be changed on the first access. And as you know, DirSync is not available with this kind of migration. What is migrated and what is not migrated? So we are migrating main messages, folders, rules, categories, calendar, out of office, task, delegated and folder permission, and Outlook settings. So for example, the favorites. So everything inside the mailbox is migrated. What is not migrated? Security group, dynamic distribution list, system mailboxes. So for example, the mailbox of the administrator, or some mailboxes that are not are not related to a real user, for example, and the dumpster. Who wants to tell me what is the dumpster? No one wants to tell me what is the dumpster? Oh, we have a great one, Luis. Messages that were deleted, more or less, from the recycled bin. Better. I like the answer. So basically, when you delete a message in Exchange, this in Outlook or in OWA, this message goes to the recycled bin. When you click, right-click on the recycle bin, these messages are moved to an hidden area that is called dumpster. So these messages does not exist in the recycle bin anymore, but are in a hidden system area in an exchange. This area is called dumpster. Exists in exchange on premises and exists in exchange online. Sender's permission are not migrated, and also messages that are larger than a specific amount that we have configured in exchange online. Okay, let's move to the new slide. So what is important to know is that partial migration are not possible. So you cannot exclude folders or time range. For example, you will migrate everything inside the mailbox, and you cannot tell to the system to migrate all the data starting from December 2015. This is not possible now, was possible few years ago with PPOS, not possible with Office 365 at all. You cannot migrate mailbox where unified messaging has been enabled, and you need to remember that when you are performing a cutover migration, when the user connects to Exchange Online for the first time, all the data needs to be synchronized again from Exchange Online to the local Outlook client. So the OST file, the local cache file for the mail, needs to be recreated from zero. So you need to take in account that will be a large amount of data that needs to be downloaded after the migration. This will not happen with an hybrid environment. Okay, after the migration, the user experience. Well, if since there is no dsync enabled, the administrator needs to distribute a new password to the end users because they possibly will have a new password compared for to the IMAP, sorry, the Exchange previous system. They need to create a new profile and need to download and recreate a new OST file. Let's see together the Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer, the tool that is free for all, that will help you in understanding if your Exchange server is ready to be migrated to Exchange Online. So I'm going to share with you again my screen. Bruno, can you let me know when my screen has been available for everyone?
Okay.
It should be a matter of a few seconds. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Luis. So in front of you, there is the Remote Connectivity Analyzer. It's really important for you to use this tool to understand if your environment is ready for each kind of exchange migration, cutover, staged, but also in particular hybrid. In this case, we are going to see if local exchange server is ready to be migrated to Exchange Online. So we need to test the auto-discover configuration for this server. So I just click here and click Next. In this area, I need to type all the information about the system I'm going to migrate. So one username that I want to test, one username with accesses to this server, his password, and I need to retype the password here. I understand that I'm testing the connection, and usually the most difficult part is to type the verification captcha. So there should be this one, B3QHS, and verify. If we are lucky, okay, we can proceed with the test. Usually the test takes 1 minute, 2 minutes maximum, so can be done many times. And if you are going to perform a migration from an Exchange server, you have to have a result like this one, so totally green. Here there is just a warning that I will show you in a second, but if inside the test steps you are getting any warning in red, possibly the migration sooner or later will fail. Here there is just a warning on the SSL certificate that is related to the configuration of the certificate in certain kind of Windows version. It's the only kind of warning you can receive. And this, as you can see, is a warning, not an error. So always remember to expand the results of the remote connectivity analyzer, and everything else have to be, must be green. If you are having just one red dot, you will have problems sooner or later. So as you can see, there are tests about resolving the auto-discovery URL, resolving the host name, checking that the port for auto-discovery is working, checking the certificate that is valid, provided by a third-party certification authority, and all this kind of stuff. It's really important that the remote connectivity analyzer is totally green. Let's proceed with the next step. So now we are going to perform a cutover migration from an Exchange server. Again, I'm inside the Exchange Admin Center, recipient, migration, same operation as before, plus migrate to Exchange Online. Sorry, I'm moving here. And as you can see, I have the four kind of migration that I can perform. If in this tenant, dir sync or Active Directory synchronization is enabled, this one, the cutover migration, is grayed out. So you are not able to perform the cutover migration. Let's click on this one and then next. Now the system is doing something similar to what we have done with the remote connectivity analyzer. So I need to type here the email address of the user that we're gonna perform the migration. One account of that main server that has administrative permission on that server, and the password for this user. Next. If everything works fine with AutoDiscover, automatically Exchange Online will be able to connect to the on-premise Exchange server and fill out the RPC proxy server, so the name of the server that will be reached to perform the migration. In this configuration, you can also perform the kind of authentication that you want to have, and also what kind of access do you want to configure to perform the migration. Once you have configured this area, you can click on Next. Give a name to the batch name, cutover. And then click Next. As you can see, it's quite similar to the IMAP migration, because in the end you need to define the username that will receive the report and decide if I want to start the batch now or later. Here I'm going to start again the batch later. One second. And voila, the batch has been created, and as before you will see that the system connected to a specific main server, that is this one. You can see all the details, like for example the concurrent migration, concurrent incremental sync, and so on. And you will see that automatically the system has found six mailboxes that will be migrated from the main system. So once again, in real time you can follow all the migration procedure from this area. Please remember that you can also check the migration status and start a migration using PowerShell, as we said. So let me go back to the presentation once again. And I'm going to show you the full procedure to migrate my data using the cutover migration. So remember to configure Outlook Anywhere, so basically AutoDiscover. Test everything using the Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer, as we did, to be sure the Outlook Anywhere is working correctly. Assign the permission to a specific user to access to all the mailboxes. Enter the server settings and administrative credentials, as we did a few minutes ago. Then the migration tool will automatically provision the user, mailboxes, distribution list, and contacts in Office 365. As we have seen in the demo, the system is able to read everything inside the Exchange server locally. Then we perform the initial sync, and when this initial sync has been completed, every 24 hours the system keeps the Exchange on-premise and the Exchange Online in sync. When you are ready and you have completed your migration, you just need to change the MX record, mark the migration as complete so that Exchange Online can sync, do a final sync and cleanup of the situation so that everything is working already in Office 365. The last step that you need to perform is assign a valid Office 365 license to your users. That's all. It's not difficult. What you need to really check carefully is usually the local Exchange server, because most of the time has problems in performances, is an old version of the server, is not the latest service pack or cumulative update, is not using, is overloaded, all this kind of stuff, because most of the problems are related to it. Well, I'm giving now the floor to Bruno, that we will talk about stage Exchange migration. Bruno, the stage is yours.
Okay, thank you. So, let me take over the presentation.
Seems so okay.
Yeah, okay. So, what is a stage migration, or what is for? Okay, so it's a simple and unified way to all contents be migrated softly to Office 365. The users can be synced and by their sync or any other sync tool like AD Sync, ID Connect, which only works with 2003 and 2007. The other one, like 2013 and 2016 and 2010 as well, can make the hybrid environment. And can make a smooth transition between premises. And this is very important to the customers. Make a smooth transition before from the premises that have now and Office 365. They can make like is 1,000 users per batch, as we can see on the slide. And what is the requirements we need to have on the stage? So we need to have activated the Outlook Anywhere, and we, as the cutover, we still need to have a valid SSL certificate issued by a public certification authority. The migration account will need to be a full access or receive as, like fully said on the cutover. So it's very similar in some topics as cutover. But on this case, we need to have DirSync enabled, and this is very important. And cutover, we need to have it disabled. On this one, you need to have it enabled. So the accepted domains need to be already be configured on Office 365 tenant. And like you said before, is not supported by 2010, 2013, and 2016, because on that case, we recommend an hybrid scenario. Will be only available the simple consistency. So this means that free BZ, calendar sharing, send off behalf will not be able between the migration or the first migrations or until the migration gets everything on Office 365. So simple consistency deployment. The Active Directory is synchronized with the on-prem environment. We have the routing passing the on-premises and Office 365, so we can use the both worlds, and the mail will be delivered in both scenarios, so online users and on-prem users. Users can use the GAL, as was testing on and using on-premise. We have the possibility to have federated identity as well, and do not require a hybrid server, such as 2010 or 2013 or even 2016. Accounts provisioning, as we said, the DirSync is already enabled, so the accounts are synchronized to online. And we can provision it that way. So the account already exists when we start migrating the accounts to online, or making a soft match between the on-premise world and the new one online. we need to define the passwords to the to all users. So the admin need to change the password and given to the to the users after the migration. And the password sync are optional since we have their sync enabled. So what is migrated and what is not migrated? The mailbox structure such rules, calendar, contacts, out of office settings, tasks, folders, permissions, and Outlook settings are migrated. What is not migrated? Security groups, distribution groups, mail system, dumpster, send desk permission and off on behalf, and message larger than 25, more or less like we haven't got over. So what we can do or not? Partial migration are not possible. We cannot migrate unified messaging accounts, and the OST need to be created a new one. So we cannot use the old OST files. More or less like we have on cutover, we need to have a CSV file to make the migration. We can migrate 1,000 users per CSV, and we can use the check smart against Office 365 directory. So what is meant for the user experience? Well, after generating a new password, the user can create their own profile without any issues using the user password and auto-discover service. All the mailbox will recreate the OST on the local computer, since we need to recreate the OST file. I will give you some examples. Mail root coexistence. So before we make this change, we have only a MX record pointed to on-premise, and the mail will be always delivered to the account on-premises, as we can see. We'll check on the exchange and we'll deliver to the account that is on the header. What happened on-premises to Office 365 world? So someone send a message to the exchange, will be checked, since the user is already on Office 365, will redirect to Office 365 exchange servers and be delivered to the account that is already have the proxy server there and the target address already set. The same happened when we sent from on-premises to online. So both worlds can see exactly who is the person. There is no mail lost because someone have been migrated to Office 365. The same occurs when we send to someone on Office 365 to on-premises. So the email will be checked on Exchange Online. Will be checked that that account still are on premises, will be delivered on the exchange server, will be delivered to account. So what we need to have in mind, we need to configure the active sync, dir sync, deconnect, verify if the Outlook anywhere is well configured, create a CSV file, create the batch, start the migration. After the migration is complete, convert all the mailbox to mail users, mail contact users, delete the batch, and after that, give the license and change the auto-discover to online. As you can see over here. So we need to mail enable the users after the stage migration in 2003 and 2007. That is only the unique servers that can handle this type of migration. There is some additional resource if someone wants to follow this or having. I will put this on the blog as well. And thank you.
Sorry, Bruno, if I jump in now. Yep. So, guys, we saved some time for possible questions that you may have on the main migration procedure or operation. So if you have any kind of question about what we have seen so far, some curiosity, something that is not clear, So we have a few minutes that where we can ask to your question. So be free. You can also open your microphone if you want. Eh? It's not a problem. You can use IM or you can just type, as you prefer. Let's wait a few seconds. I see that Kelly is typing something.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly it was a joke.
No. Migration process, award, credentials.
Okay. Kelly, I'm I hope it's your name, Kelly, not your last name. So I'm showing you the CSV file that I used in the demo before, so we can talk with it. Bruno, can you just tell me when you are able to see my notepad?
Okay.
I will also answer to your question, Luis. Just 1 second. Tell me when you're able to see my notepad. Okay.
Not yet. Yes, again.
Fantastic. So, Kelly, basically, as you can see, there is a specific format to prepare the CSV file. The first part is the destination, so in which mailbox put the content. And the last two parts are the credentials from the on-premise system. So basically, an email will be, the destination will be monica@my365lab.com. And here we can say, for example, MN, just to change it, MN@my365lab.info with this password, Office 365, are the credentials used for the on-premise or IMAP server. Is it clear? Okay, for the target, okay. So credentials for the target are not important, Kelly, because we are already in Exchange Online and we have already access to the Exchange Online system. No? So using this CSV, I just need to give the credential, to tell to the system where to save the mail data. The credentials are not needed for the destination. Okay, I'm needed only to connect to the original system to get the data. We are already working in the destination Exchange Online, so we don't need to re-authenticate because the migration process has already background process or system that can access to all the mailboxes to perform the migration. So credentials are not important. I don't know if it was clear. Okay. Okay, the next one. Next one is, how do you recommend migrating from Google Apps? Oh, okay, basically, there are two suggestions that I can give you. The first one, if you want to use something from Microsoft and something for free, is basically using use the IMAP migration because it's the only system that we have. So all the mail will be migrated, but we are not able to migrate something like contacts or, for example, the calendar or something like that. Works, please just remember that on Google side, you need to unflag a security check that is checking connections from a strange location. Because Exchange Online will connect to Google to extract mails from the mailbox, but in some circumstances, we see that action as a tentative of hacking or something that should not happen and is blocking the connection. So on Google, please just remember to unflag that security check. Another option that in most of the cases can be a good option is use third party. There are many, I would prefer not give you name if possible here, that are able to perform nice main migration, even copying also contacts, calendar, and this kind of items. So the migration will not be an IMAP migration, but will able to be something like our cutover migration, so full fidelity with all the content of the mailbox.
Silvia, the answer is more or less the same what you have from Google. So IMAP should be the best way to migrate from any Unix server to Office 365.
Yeah, there is a question also from Silvia. Sorry, Silvia, could you rephrase your question? Maybe or if you want to unmute yourself, as you prefer, to understand better your question, if possible. So, just one second, Silvia is typing, also Jorge. Okay, minimal amount of resources that admins have for the servers, so the migration can be efficient and so on. So basically, planning the migration from a server, basically, to be able to provide a good migration to Exchange Online is not an easy question, this one, Silvia, for a simple reason, because I suppose you are talking about an IMAP migration for sure. Because from Linux, we don't have, or Unix, we don't have so many other options, to be honest. I think it's all related basically to the RAM, CPU, and upload speed, basically. But most of it will depend on the number of users that are on the system and the power of the system. I can give you, I think, a good suggestion here on the hardware, because what I can tell you is that IMAP is really angry of CPU and in particular memory, CPU in particular, because for a simple reason, because since we are going to read and write on using the IMAP protocol directly on the server, it's using a lot of resources on the server. So that's why resources are really impacted by the IMAP migration. Well, about that we can discuss maybe in detail in a separate conversation if you want. Okay, the incremental synchronization, Jorge, is working for 15 days. In the past was more. In the past was working for if in the beginning, so it was working for almost 2 months. But what we discovered was that many people was launching the migration and let the trial of the tenant expire, and the migration was still running for months and months without doing anything for real. So basically, after 15 days from the last full migration, the Delta Sync will run for 15 days, so a couple of weeks.
Okay, so I will launch now the pool.
Guys, if there are other questions, feel free, eh? We are here for that.
Yep.